We thank you for the abundance of life, the chirping of birds, the cry of wolves, the haunting song of humpbacks, and the purring of cats. You filled this world with creatures too small to be seen without a microscope, too far away to know except through photographs, and you made the great Leviathan just for the sport of it. These are the songs of hallelujah that glorify your greatness. Amen. Have a seat. We learn a lot from animals, don't we? Just the reading that we got today, the first one, gives us a pretty good understanding of the difference between our animal neighbors and our human neighbors. We are given the example of the mountain goat, who expresses self-confidence. They don't need our help. They'll handle it on their own. We have the wild ass that does not hear the shouts of the driver. Those are some good boundaries. They know their capabilities, and they will work as they work, and we'll all get where we need to go. And then there's the wild ox, who's domesticated, sure, strong, capable, and yet they serve their own humility to us, faithfulness. And then there's the ostrich, quickly becoming one of my favorite creatures on the planet. This is a bird who is self-possessed, clearly does not behave the way other birds behave. This is a differentiated bird, and she celebrates her own uniqueness. She's a weirdo, and she embraces it. These creatures are for us a touchstone for our own strengths and flaws. We learn a great deal about us through observing them. For those among us who are control-y people, who like to have a handle on everything, make sure everything is in its proper order. Animals are good at scuttling that. This week, I'm dog-sitting for some friends of ours. And this dog has been to our house before, so we're not strangers, but she knows something is different. She knows something's up. And she doesn't behave the way she behaves for her people because we're not her people. But she obliges us most of the time for being a good dog. But she won't be controlled by us because we don't belong to her. And so we're like, are we doing the right thing with this dog? Like, are we treating her properly? We're giving her good food and walkies and all that stuff. But she showed us what's important about relationship. Lizanne and I had to go out and run some errands. And we had to leave the dog in the house alone for a couple hours. And when we came back, we wondered what the state of the house was going to be in, if we were going to find her on the bed or on the furniture. And when we got to the door, we saw this little face look out the window. She'd been sitting on the rug at the entryway the whole time, waiting for us to come home. She's a senior dog. She's a lady of 13, and she doesn't have a lot of tail expression the way dogs do. Tail kind of follows the curve of her butt pretty much all the time. She saw us coming up the door. She wagged her tail, happy to see us. We had to go out a couple times and leave her home alone, and every time we came back, she expressed how happy she was to see us. And we learned what's important for this animal is relationship with the other people in your pack. So she might not be too expressive all the rest of the time, but what's important to her was made very clear. And isn't that true for us? The most important thing we have to do every day is come home at the end of the day. That's our major job every day. It's those relationships that we build that keep us together, that keep us connected. We learn these things from animals. But for the controlly people like us, it's not an easy lesson to learn. There's a story that I heard about this guy who was describing what it's like to be a dog owner. He said, "We just sit around and stare at each other all day and wonder what the other is eating." I know the dog people in the room now. The world can be a tricky place. And our reading from Wendell Berry really kind of drives that home. There's plenty of things to worry about. Just go back and listen to any of the other sermons that I preach. I always preach about the same thing. Life is hard. But what do we do about it? Well, Wendell Berry goes into the peace of the wild things to remember that ostriches are differentiated and that wild asses don't hear the shouts of the driver and that mountain goats will handle things in their own way. And he finds that central peace again to move forward. It's funny what we read from that first reading, though, is from the book of Job. And we often think about Job as this man beset with welts and bruises and terrible conditions and a really hard life. But we hear this beautiful story about animals from Job also, a person who also had a pretty hard life and looked to the animals of the world to learn something. Later on in Job, in the 12th chapter, he gives us some really good wisdom. He says, "But ask the behemoth, and he will teach you. The birds of the sky tell you. Or talk to the earth, and it will teach you. The fish of the sea will recount it for you. Among all these, who hasn't known that the Lord's hand did this, in whose grasp is the life of everything and the breath of every person?" Animals know about this connection that we have with the Creator who makes this beautiful, balanced planet of ours work perfectly every day. And sometimes we humans, with our great big brains and our controlling nature, try to thwart that goodness and that beautiful balance. Job sees that the world is in balance. Wendell Berry sees that the world is in balance. Jane Goodall sees that the world is in balance. She talked about how animals don't sully their world, but we do. She wonders how people can plant foods, but do it with poisons, pesticides, and things like that. She talked about making a difference in whatever way you can. She had her way, and it was very effective, but we each have our own way of making a difference and centering the created world, this place that gives us life and the breath that we breathe and the water that we drink every day. She showed us. She was a prophet as much as any. And we can learn from her, just as we can learn from Wendell Berry and from Job and from the dog sitting that we do and the pets that we love. As we wrap up this season of creation, we finish it liturgically, and we remember St. Francis, who felt so at home caring for animals and in the care of animals. It's hard to not like St. Francis. Who doesn't like little birds and squirrels? But just because the season of creation is done today doesn't mean that it's done for all of us. We're moving into one of the most beautiful times of year, autumn. Leaves change color, and what season can bring the best weather than autumn? Not too hot, not too cold, not having rain every day, beautiful sun. And you can stay up late enough to watch the sunset now. But breathe. Breathe in the air. Breathe in the smells of the apples that have hit the ground and are beginning to rot, that sweet smell. Breathe in the smells of the ocean when the waves and the wind change direction and you get that salt air. Remember that you step on the ground every day by virtue of gravity over which you have no control. You never wonder if the ground is going to be there until you put your foot down, and it's there. And this planet supports us. So let's do what we can to support the planet and listen to what it has to say to us. For it has within its nature the good news. Amen.